Hi everyone, welcome to our daily devotionals. Today we're going to be reading 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 12 to 36. And where we left off over the past 2 days is that we learned about a woman named Hannah, a woman who had been barren for many years, but now had been able to bear a child who they called Samuel. And Hannah had made a vow to the Lord, saying that if God gives her this child, she will give this child to the Lord all the days of his life. And that is exactly what we've seen happen throughout chapters 1 and chapter 2 so far. Hannah gives Samuel to the Lord. And what Samuel does is he starts ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli the priest. Now, in our passage today, we're going to see a stark contrast between Samuel and his life and Eli's household and their life. And so, we're going to read first pretty much all of our passage today is about Eli and his sons, Hophni and Phinehas. Let's read about his household. Verse 12. Now the sons of Eli were worthless men. They did not know the Lord. The custom of the priests with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant would come while the meat was boiling with a three-pronged fork in his hand, and he would thrust it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. All that the fork brought up, the priest would take for himself. This is what they did at Shiloh to all the Israelites who came there. Moreover, before the fat was burned, the priest's servant would come and say to the man who was sacrificing, "Give meat for the priest to the roast, for he will not accept boiled meat from you, but only raw." And if the man said to him, "Let them burn the fat first, and then take as much as you wish," he would say, "No, you must give it now, and if not, I will take it by force." Thus the sin of the young men was very great in the sight of the Lord, for the men treated the offering of the Lord with contempt. Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy clothed with linen ephod, and his mother used to make for him a little robe and take it to him each year when she went up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Then Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, "May the Lord give you children by this woman for the petition she asked of the Lord." So then they would return to their home. Indeed, the Lord visited Hannah, and she conceived and bore 3 sons and 2 daughters, and the boy Samuel grew in the presence of the Lord. Now Eli was very old, and he kept hearing all that his sons were doing to all Israel, and how they lay with the women who were serving at the entrance of the tent of the meeting. And he said to them, "Why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings from all these people. No, my sons, it is no good report that I hear the people of the Lord spreading abroad. If someone sins against a man, God will mediate for him. But if someone sins against the Lord, who can intercede for him?" But they would not listen to the voice of their father, for it was the will of the Lord to put them to death. Now the boy Samuel continued to grow both in stature and in favor with the Lord and also with man. And there came a man of God to Eli and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, did I indeed reveal myself to the house of your father when they were in Egypt subject to the house of Pharaoh? Did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to go up to my altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? I gave to the house of your father all my offerings by fire from the people of Israel. Why then do you scorn my sacrifices and my offerings that I commanded for my dwelling, and honor your sons above me by fattening yourselves on the choicest parts of every offering of my people Israel? Therefore the Lord, the God of Israel, declares, I promise that your house and the house of your father should go in and out before me forever. But now the Lord declares, far be it from me, for those who honor me I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Behold, the days are coming when I will cut off your strength and the strength of your father's house, so that there will not be an old man in your house. Then in distress you will look with envious eye on all the prosperity that shall be bestowed on Israel, and there shall not be an old man in your house forever. The only one of you whom I shall not cut off from my altar shall be spared to weep his eyes out to grieve his heart, and all the descendants of your house shall die by the sword of men. And this that shall come upon your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, shall be the sign to you. Both of them shall die on the same day. And I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who shall come, who shall do according to what is in my heart and in my mind. And I will build him a sure house, and he shall go in and out before my anointed forever. And everyone who is left in your house shall come to implore him for a piece of silver or a loaf of bread, and shall say, please put me in one of the priest's places that I may eat a morsel of bread. Amen. That was a little bit of a longer passage today, so I hope you were able to follow along. But let me try to break it down a little bit for us. In our passage, we read about Eli's sons, two of them specifically, Hophni and Phinehas. And these two sons were doing some pretty terrible things in the sight of the Lord as well as in the sight of the people. Eli had been getting reports that were not good, but they were of terrible things that he heard about his sons doing. And there are two things specifically, according to our passage, that we see that Eli's sons were doing. First, in verse 17, it says that they treated the offerings with contentment. How did they do this? Well, they took the offerings of the people of Israel, and rather than thinking about what was best for them and what they were offering, they were more concerned about what they would gain. And so it says that they would want to get the raw meat so that they could boil it. And it was according to custom that if they took a three-pronged fork in their hand and thrust it into the pan or kettle or whatever they're cooking this meat in, whatever they can take up with that fork, the priest would take it for himself. What I don't want us to get so caught up in is the actual practice of this, but it's looking at more of the heart of Hophni and Phinehas. They were concerned more about their own interests rather than the sacrifices of the people of Israel. The offerings that the people of Israel would offer to the Lord was in many ways dishonoring to God now, and it was being defiled by the very priest that God had appointed to Israel. Eli's household was called to be holy to the Lord. They were called to be dedicated to the ministry of God, to mediating between God and his people. And yet, their heart was not in the right place. And so they treated these offerings with contentment. But the second way that they had sinned against the Lord is in verse 22. They laid with the women who were serving at the entrance to the tent of meeting. They defiled themselves. They defiled their bodies. And in turn, they were dishonoring to the Lord. And so it's for these reasons that Eli, after having heard these reports, he responds and he goes to his sons with a logical rhetorical question in verse 25. If someone sins against a man, God will mediate for him. But if someone sins against the Lord, who can intercede for him? This was a very logical question because as priests, Hophni and Phinehas were meant to intercede for the Lord. They were mediators between God and his people. Yet they had sinned against the Lord themselves. And it says in the following verse, in verse 26, that they would not listen to the voice of their father. Whenever we see some kind of rebellion or disobedience, we have to look not just at the actions itself, but we need to look at what's going on in the heart. And we see that in the heart of Hophni and Phinehas, there was no desire to honor the Lord. And so what does God do? Well, we see that the Lord rejected the household of Eli. Anyone who is part of Eli's household will die by the sword of men. And if they were to ever escape that destiny, they will weep their eyes out to grieve their hearts. This is the kind of punishment that God had given to the households of Eli. And instead, God says that he will raise up for himself a faithful priest who shall do according to what is in his heart and in his mind. And I will build him a sure house, and he shall go in and out before my anointed forever. The faithful priest with a sure house is probably a guy named Zadok. We'll learn more about him later on in 2 Samuel. But Zadok was a priest under David and a descendant of Ithamar's brother Eleazar, son of Aaron. And Zadok was going to be this faithful priest. And the sure house that we come to see is the house of David. It is in the house of David that we see that there is this faithfulness and this sureness in terms of the kingdom of God being devoted to the God who is our king. And we look at this history of Israel, and we see just how God is continuing to remain faithful. He's continuing to remain faithful in the ways that he fulfills his promises, that through this monarchy, there is going to be faithful priests, faithful king. And beyond that, we come to see that it's not just Zadok who is a faithful priest, but there's going to be someone who is an even more faithful priest, a faithful high priest, which is Jesus Christ. He is the one who is able to do all that is according to the Father's heart and the Father's mind, because he is our God. And upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, we will continue to live in a kingdom that is unshakable. And so Jesus is our faithful high priest, and he is also our everlasting king. And so today we look to Jesus. Today we are reminded of who Jesus is. So let's continue to look to our faithful high priest, and let's look to the one who is our everlasting king. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. And God, we receive this warning that just as Hophni and Phinehas have dishonored you and have sinned against you. Lord, many ways, Lord, we have sinned and continue to sin against you. Father, I pray that you would not reject us, but Lord, that you would pour out your mercy over and over again. But Lord, help us not to take your grace for granted. Help us to take repentance seriously, that we may turn away from our sinful ways and turn to Jesus, our faithful high priest, our everlasting king. Lord, we look to you, God. We look to Jesus. We need your help. We need your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, that the blood of Jesus is what washes away our sins. We thank you, Lord, that he was the final and perfect sacrifice. And Lord, nothing could have defiled that offering. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining us in our devotionals. I hope you were blessed. And let's continue to walk together in 1 Samuel tomorrow. Have a great day.